He says in verse 8 again, the goat became very great, but at the height of its power, his large horn was broken off, and in its place four prominent horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven. Now remember these four horns. This is very important. So again, this is Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, and Greece. Out of one of them, out of what? Out of one of them? Is that what it says? Out of one of them, out of one of what? Those four divisions of the Grecian Empire. Out of one of them. Does it say out of a different one? No, out of one of them came another horn which started small but grew in power to the south and the east toward the beautiful land. That's talking about the Antichrist coming into Palestine, that area of the world. Out of one of them. So he's telling you out of that area of the world is where the Antichrist is going to come out. Out of what? Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, or Greece? Out of that area. So he's going to come out of one of them. So he's really narrowing it down for you to tell you exactly where this Antichrist is going to come out of. He's going to come out of one of them. Now, let's continue on. It grew, it's that little horn, the Antichrist, until it reached the hosts of the heavens, and it threw some of the starry hosts down to the earth and trampled on them. It set itself up. Now, these starry hosts he's talking about, this is talking about Him killing God's people is what it's talking about. Very simple. Now it set itself up to be as great as a prince of the host. It took away the daily sacrifice from him. This is talking about the Antichrist setting himself up as God in the Jewish temple. And the place of the sanctuary was brought low. Because of rebellion, the host of the saints and the daily sacrifice were given over to it. Because of rebellion. Why? Because they did not obey God and accept the Messiah. This is a judgment coming on them. That's what he's talking about here. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. It's a kingdom of lies. He's empowered by the Grecian prince, which we'll talk about a little bit possibly. And he's also empowered by the devil. The devil gives him his power and his throne and great authority, it says over there in Revelation. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to him, how long will it take for the vision to be fulfilled? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion that caused desolation, and the surrender of the sanctuary of the hosts to be trampled underfoot. He said to me, it'll take 2,300 evenings and mornings, and the sanctuary will be reconsecrated. Now, we're going to talk about that when we talk about Daniel's 70th weeks. Verse 15, while I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there stood before me one who looked like a man. I heard a man's voice from Uli calling Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision. As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. Son of man, he said to me, understand what the vision concerns, the time of the end. Time of the end. While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. He touched me and raised me to my feet. He said, I am going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath. This is Daniel's 70th week. In the last 7 years of this age. Because the vision concerns an appointed time of the end. Okay, so this particular vision was referring to the time of the end. Parts of it were right now. It's about to take place any time after the rapture. Okay. The two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media Persia. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece. And the large horn between his eyes is the first king. Well, we know that the first king, the kingdom of Greece, that is Alexander the Great. Okay? The four horns that replace the one that was broken off represents the four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation, so out of that area, but will not have the same power. So there's going to be divisions, which is going to diminish the power. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. Now let's talk about the Antichrist. He will become very strong, but not in his own power. Why? Because he's powered by the Grecian prince and by the power of the devil. Okay? He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. This is talking about how he's going to arise. It's through deceit. Okay? He's doing it a very worldly way. When they feel secure, he will destroy many, not all, many. He will destroy many and will take a stand against the prince of princes. This is talking about at the end of the tribulation period. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. Okay, he's going to get destroyed by Jesus himself. The vision of the evenings and mornings that was given to you is true, but seal up the vision, for it is concerning the distant future. Okay? I, Daniel, was exhausted and laid ill for several days. I would too after seeing all these incredible visions. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled at my vision. And then, he went and prayed on about it. Now, I'm going to read just a few things to you. Now, we know that these 10 kings are going to rise in the last 3.5 years. They're going to give their power over to the Antichrist. During the first 3.5 years, they're going to rise up in power. Okay? They're going to operate independently of the Antichrist for the first three and a half years. They're going to all rise out of that old Roman Empire territory. But he told you this last vision here that Daniel had, he told you where the Antichrist is going to come out of, so he narrowed it down. But the 10 kings, three of them are going to be subdued by him by the help of one, it says. And then the other 6 are going to willingly submit their power over to him during the middle of the tribulation period. Okay? Now the Antichrist is going to get all of their power, and the devil himself, the dragon, is going to give him all of his power, his throne, his dominion, great authority to rule. Because why? He's cast out of heaven, and he saw that he couldn't stop anything from happening, so he operated through a man. One man, which is the Antichrist, okay? Now, going over to chapter 17, we'll talk about the symbolism from there, because he gives you the most detail about this symbolism in chapter 17 of Revelation. Okay? Now, in chapter 17, he says here, now this is going to talk about the Whore of Babylon, but the reason I'm choosing this chapter is, again, there's literal Babylon in chapter 18. The end of chapter 16 is literal Babylon. The Whore of Babylon is a religious system that rules over those 10 kingdoms in that area of the world in particular for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It's a religious system. But in the middle of this time, when they give their power, these 10 kings give their power over the Antichrist and these 10 kings are going to destroy this religious system. Okay, they're going to destroy it. Why? Because they're going to set up a new religious system, which is called beast worship, for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, I want you to see this, though. In verse 1, it came to pass one of the 7 angels, which had 7 vials, talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. That's just talking about her sins and her lovers. It's very simple. Now, he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman. This is not Israel. This is a different symbolism here. Sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. This is not the devil. I'll tell you why. It is a devil, though. We're going to go into detail about who it is now. Now, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So we see this again, 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed with purple, scarlet, this is representing all the greed and all the idolatry, purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold, precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. It's representing all the sin. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, prostitutes, and abominations of the earth. That's just her name. Verse 6, I saw the woman is drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And I saw her, he wondered about what was going on. He was amazed at this. Now, we're going to explain a little bit. Verse 7, the angel said to me, why are you marveling? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast who carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. So this chapter literally interprets itself. We already seen in the other chapters the 7 horns, right? We've seen all these different horns and all these different things taking place, all these different empires taking place. He's going to go into detail about it here. Now, I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast which carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now this beast is a satanic priest of Grisha out of the abyss, and that's the one that Daniel talked about last. Now I want you to remember this. Every kingdom in the world has a satanic principality operating through that kingdom. All the wicked kingdoms of the world from the beginning all the way through have always had a satanic power operating through it. Well, in particular, this is going to be, he said that the Antichrist is going to rise out of this Grecian Empire territory. Okay, and I'll give you some facts proving this is not the devil, but it is a devil, okay, but in particular, it's this Grecian prince. Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. In fact, just bear with me, I'll read you some very interesting facts here. Now, the beast out of this abyss is a satanic angel and not the human spirit of some dead man like some people claim it is. He does not incarnate himself as a human antichrist or beast out of the sea, but merely uses him as a tool to revive the fifth empire, which is the Grecian Empire, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, the Grecian Empire, as the eighth kingdom and the last kingdom of the times of the Gentiles. Now, all these kingdoms represent different kingdoms that ruled over Israel since all the way from the beginning of their punishment as because of the rebellion back there in Egypt. So all these kingdoms are different Gentile nations that ruled over Israel because of the result of their rebellion. Okay, now, listen here. The last kingdom, the eighth kingdom, is the last kingdom in the times of the Gentiles. He's going to revive that fifth kingdom. We're slipping in the spirit here. We're going to try to continue on. We're reviving the fifth Grecian kingdom, which is going to be the eighth, the last kingdom in the times of the Gentiles. This spirit ruled the old Grecian Empire, and it's again going to rise up these 10 kingdoms. That's where these 10 kingdoms are going to get rise up by the power of this Grecian prince in that area of the world. Okay? Now, you can read about that in chapter 17, verse 10. Now, when his kingdom fell, he was confined... Well, whose kingdom? This Grecian prince. He was confined to the abyss where he remained during the sixth kingdom, which is the Roman Empire. Now, remember that Grecian Empire was right before the Roman Empire, okay, which lasted for a long time, which is one was still in existence in John's day, okay? Now, he will be confined to the abyss until the 10 kingdoms are formed inside the Roman Empire to make the seventh kingdom of 17 verse 10. He will be loosed and use the Antichrist to revive the old Grecian Empire as the eighth kingdom in chapter 17 verse 11. This is what the angel meant when he said the beast was, which means he existed on earth before John's day, is not at the time of John's day. Now we know the devil was still there, but this Grecian prince was not. He was confined to the abyss. And he was not on earth in John's day, and he shall ascend out of the abyss and go to perdition. That's talking about at the end of the last 3.5 years of the reign of the Antichrist. Now listen to this. I'll prove to him he's a prince of Grecia. Because of the last vision of Daniel concerning the Grecian Empire, it's 4 divisions, and the rise of the Antichrist out of one of them. Okay? Now, we can read about that in Daniel chapter 8, verse 9, 20 through 25, and 11, 1 through 45. Here's the second fact. The Antichrist, the earthly head of the eighth kingdom, which is a revival of the fifth kingdom, which is that Grecian kingdom, had fallen before John's day, right? Now, he will come from the Syrian division of the old Grecian Empire. That's talking about Daniel chapter 8, verse 9, 20 through 25, and 11, 36 through 45. Now, he will come from the old Grecian Empire and revives it, the Grecian Empire, not the Roman Empire, that's revised. But the old Grecian Empire is going to be revived. And it is definite that the spirit of the abyss is the prince of Grecia in Daniel chapter 10, verse 20. We didn't go into chapter 10, but you can read that when you get home. There's just no way to fit all this into one service. Now, the body of the beast in Revelation there in chapter 13, verse 2 is like a leopard, right? The body. The body's like a leopard, which in Daniel chapter, that's from Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, symbolized the old Grecian Empire, proving that the kingdom of the Antichrist will be mainly Grecian, that's why it's the body, It'll be mainly Grecian in character and policy as the Syrian division of Daniel chapter 8, verse 9 through 14, 20 through 25, and 11, 21 through 25. For those of you taking notes, this identifies the beast of the abyss as the prince of Grecia. Very simple. So that's the one that's going to be empowering the Antichrist for the first 3.5 years. And these 10 kingdoms are going to arise out of that old Roman Empire territory. And in particular, the Antichrist is going to come from this four divisions of Greece. Okay? Now, we know that the Antichrist is going to rule for 3.5 years, right? Now, go on over back to Revelation chapter 17, where we left off. Let's start in verse 8. The beast which you saw was and now is not. Again, this beast, now that we know, this beast is that Grecian prince. He was, now is not, and shall descend out of the bottomless pit. Okay? The devil's not in the bottomless pit, is he? There's another proof, proving he's talking about a different, someone else who's been confined to the bottomless pit. And will go into perdition, and they shall dwell on the earth, shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life, from the foundations of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. Now, listen to this, verse 9. Here's a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills or mountains on which the woman sits, that area of the world. Okay, that woman, which is a religious system in that area of the world. We can understand that. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen in John's day. What's that? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece. Five have fallen. One is, which is a Roman Empire. The other is not yet come. But when he does come, he must continue for a short time. Now, the seven heads are seven kingdoms that precede the eighth kingdom. Seven kingdoms that what? Persecute Israel, right? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and the old Rome, right? But in these last days, there's going to be an eighth kingdom that's going to be a result of these ten kingdoms giving their power over to the Antichrist, and he's going to rule over this eighth kingdom. That's why he says that he's the eighth king. Now, let's listen to this. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue for a short time. The beast that was and now is not, even he is the eighth, and is one of the seven, and goes into perdition. Now the beast, the eighth kingdom, is ruled by the Antichrist, is what he's saying there. You can read about that Revelation 13, 1 through 18 again. Daniel 7, 24, 8, 23, 9, 27, 11, 40 through 45. Now, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings which have received no kingdom as of yet. So in John's day, they didn't exist. They're for the time of the end, like he told Daniel. We read that earlier. But they received power as kings for 1 hour, for just a short time, with the beast. Now these ten kings are going to agree to give their kingdom to the Antichrist. And they're going to continue as kings under his power, under him. And they're going to fight against Christ at Armageddon. Now, they have one mind, so they're all working together with the power of the Antichrist. And they give their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them. This is talking about at Armageddon, because he's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And they that are with him are his called, chosen, and faithful followers. And he talks, he tells you what the waters are. The waters are many people. Okay? Many people where the woman sits. And he says, the waters which you saw, what you saw are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Now the ten horns that you saw upon the beast, they shall hate the whore. Now we know that this is mystical Babylon, which is a religious system. We know that they grieved and mourned at the destruction of literal Babylon. So they can't be the same thing. Okay. Ten horns that you saw upon the beast, they shall hate the whore and make her desolate and naked. They shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. It's just talking about the destruction of this religious system. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. That's talking about the middle of Daniel 70's week, them giving their power to the beast or the Antichrist, okay? The Antichrist, which is empowered by this Grecian king, and which is a man, but there's a spirit working behind him. which is Satan, and also this Grecian king. But, you know, he's going to give, these 10 kings are going to give him their power to rule for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Okay? Now, we see this in verse 18, the woman that you saw is a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, it's a great whore. That's a kingdom reigning over the 10 kings. Now, is there anything, anybody in here, if you have questions, I want you to come and ask me about it after the service. Because this is all very, very easy to understand. The main thing you need to get out of all this symbolism is that the Antichrist is going to rise out of the old Roman Empire territory that Daniel said, in particular the old Grecian Empire. Okay? And out of this Grecian Empire, Assyria in particular, calls the Antichrist Assyrian. The Antichrist is going to come from Syria. Okay? So he's coming. He's not coming from the United States. Forget about it. But that does not leave you an escape to just backslide and go into the world, because there's going to be, we've seen there's going to be all sorts of plagues and terrible things happening in the earth other than the Antichrist. Some of them, to me, if you were to ask my opinion, I'd say they're worse than the Antichrist. Those spirit beings are going to be very terrible. Amen? And, you know, all this symbolism is really the Bible self-interpreting. And you can understand the rest of the Bible, the rest of the chapters in there, you can read through them, basically. You know, I went through all the other stuff. We haven't read the last chapter of Revelation, which we'll get to when the Lord releases me, but he wanted me to talk about this tonight. And you need to understand these things. Amen? Amen.